Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Edward J. Watts is a distinguished professor at the University of California at San Diego. He is the endowed chair of Alcibiades Vassiliadis. He takes us, however, in hand from the 21st century to the 6th century BCE. The book is The Romans, a 2,000-year history. Professor, a very good evening to you. Congratulations. We by-step Romulus and Remus as not substantive enough to speculate. Besides, it very much flatters the men who invented them. We come to an historical figure, Servius Tullius, and also an historic figure in the 6th century, Lucius Tarquinius Priscus. Both these men had claim on kingship. But as we know, and having read The Time of Caesar, kingship is kryptonite to Romans. What happens in the 6th and 5th century that creates that prejudice? Good evening to you.
Hi, how are you? I'm really glad to be here, and thank you for the congratulations on the book. I think in writing the book, what you can see is that the Roman state, from the very earliest moments we have any sense of its political orientation, it's a state that expects that all of its citizens will have a say in who's running things and who's governing them. And the very earliest kingships, from what we can tell, were structures that required basically the choice of a sovereign, not based on the hereditary connection that sovereign had to whoever came before him, but based on a selection process where there was effectively an on the job interview conducted by the hereditary aristocracy. They chose a candidate, and then everyone else in Roman society who was not part of this patrician hereditary aristocracy voted to approve the choice. And Roman kingship before Tarquinius Priscus was a very diverse sort of enterprise. You know, you could even not have been born in Rome and be chosen as a Roman king. And Tarquinius Priscus was an example of this. Tarquinius Priscus was actually born in the city of Tarquinii. He was descended from Greek refugees who had come from the city of Corinth. And he moved to Rome because Rome was a place that offered him an opportunity to really excel in life. And so he was elected king, even though he was not Roman by birth. But when he became king, what Tarquinius Priscus decided to do was work very closely with other outsiders. This is a moment in the 6th century where Italy is full of adventurers and people we would consider probably warlords. And Servius Tullius is one of these figures. So Servius Tullius was born even more humbly than Tarquinius Priscus. He was born a slave, but he comes into the orbit of Tarquinius Priscus. And ultimately, when Tarquinius Priscus is assassinated, Servius Tullius takes power. And he does it in a fashion that sidesteps the patrician selection process. He assumed he wouldn't be chosen by them, but he still goes and has the vote of regular Roman citizens. And so at that moment, you have the first kind of disentangling of kingship from this process of accountability and selection that made the king kind of an element of a common political project. And so what Servius Tullius represents is, you know, a shift from this idea that the king is, in a sense, a magistrate chosen by the citizens of Rome. To the king is somebody who exercises power in a way that the king decides is most advantageous to him.
So he was not born to the purple, and that recommended him to the Roman citizens.
Both of them were not born to the purple. In fact, Romans were very hesitant to choose somebody who was born as, you know, the son of a king. They didn't want this. They actually thought that the way this should work is the citizen body chooses the best person. And so from a very earliest point in Roman history, Romans believe that this state belongs to them. You know, even if you're going to choose a king, you choose that king. There is no right to rule. There is a choice made by the citizens that you are the best person to rule.
There's an element of heroism in this, Professor, to be born a slave and to become a king. That would be a star in a Hollywood movie.
Oh, he's a wonderfully charismatic figure. And he's one of these figures, I think when we're talking about Roman history, as you said at the outset, you have figures like Romulus and Remus, where there's really nothing historical that we can say beyond the Roman traditions that are much, much later than the time when these people would have lived. But with Servius Tullius, we have non-Roman traditions as well. He's known from Etruscan sources. He's known from Roman sources. You know, he is a figure who historically you can look at him and say, this was a real person. We can't say a lot about him, but we do know he was someone who was not Roman and eventually became a Roman king.
Lucius Quinctius Cincinnatus, the next hero on the block. This is 5th century BCE. He was real. He comes from a small farm and rises up to lead a success and fend off the invaders. And then he goes back to the small farm. What did that mean to the Romans?
So to the Romans, again, this state belongs to them. And they believe that that confers certain rights and certain privileges on them and certain obligations. And so when the state asks you to do something, you do it. And so Cincinnatus is a figure who was a Roman senator. He was an accomplished figure. And during an emergency, he was not in the Roman Senate at the time that the emergency was being debated. Roman senators came to his farm. They told him that he had been selected as a dictator, which was an emergency office that Romans put in place to allow one individual to make the decisions and act on behalf of all Romans without any kind of accountability. And Cincinnatus was chosen to do this for a fixed period of time and with a specific task. And what Cincinnatus did is, even though he had the dictatorship for 6 months, he went out, he won a battle, and he stepped down from power as soon as the battle was over, because he had performed the obligation that the state required of him. And so for Romans, what this symbolizes is this idea that, again, you have obligations to the state, but you perform those obligations, you do not accumulate power. You do not use the resources of the state or the positions that you've been given to better yourself economically, socially, or politically. You do what's asked of you because you're a stakeholder in the state. And if the state collectively chooses you to do something, you do it. But after that, you step down. And so what Cincinnatus represents is this Roman virtue of service. You know, it's a service without expectation that you will profit in any way whatsoever.
It occurs to me, Professor, as you explicate, that this understanding of the authority of a leader coming from the people is an argument that lasts 2,000 years. I know because I've just recently finished a biography of James I and his son Charles I. This was an argument in Mother Britain, in the period before the Civil War, the Revolution, at the same time they were founding the colonies. Does the king derive his power from Parliament? Does Parliament derive its power from the king? And the Romans would have said the former. The king gets his power from the Parliament, or from the king gets his power from the people. Is that a fair projection onto the Romans?
It's exactly right. And there's actually, yeah, at the end of the book, we talk about the Crusader sack of Constantinople in 1204. And when the Crusaders are coming to Constantinople, they bring a pretender with them, who is the son of a deposed emperor. And the Roman emperor at the time writes to the Pope and says, look, you misunderstand how our state works. You think that it's a European monarchy. You think that it works like Western Europe and the state belongs to the monarch. It doesn't. Our state belongs to our citizens, and there are representatives of those citizens who choose the emperor. There is no right that somebody has to be emperor just because they were the descendant of another emperor. Power comes not from heredity. It comes from the consent of the governed and their representatives.
I'm speaking to Professor Edward Watts. His new book is The Romans, A 2,000-Year History. We're going to the 4th century BCE, and a man named Appius Claudius, who builds the Appian Way, among other accomplishments. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.